Calling all detectives. A hand-painted necktie, $5,000, and a shot in a crowded street. Those are the exhibits on this page from my casebook. A casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. Many private detectives, like me, Jerry Browning, collect souvenirs of their cases. At police headquarters, I took the handcuffs off my prisoner. It was Artie Lomax, a dapper confidence man. I hung around while they searched him and inventoried his possessions. The police sergeant was just taking Artie's necktie, standard police procedure. It was a hand-painted tie with geometric designs and some sort of Turkish motif, and liberally sprinkled with curlicues and strange lettering. I took the necktie from the sergeant. Artie, I'm making a collection of souvenirs from my various cases. I'd sort of like this tie. If it's valuable, I'll be glad to pay you for it. It'll go with a stick pin I got in a Leonard killing. Artie hesitated, then...
Okay, Browning. For a shamus, you ain't a bad guy. You can have the tie. If you're man enough to wear it.
I wore the tie the next day. A few hours later, at the busy corner of 10th and Broadway, a slender, gray-haired man walked up to me.
You have been long delayed. Here is your 5,000.
He shoved a small package into my hand, started to say something else, then suddenly darted back into the crowd. I tore a corner off the package enough to see that it contained currency, but I didn't count it, because seconds later... My hat went sailing off across the street. As I dived for shelter, I began to realize that maybe Artie Lomax wasn't kidding about being man enough to wear his necktie. A few hours after I put on a necktie I'd taken from a confidence man, I was handed a package of currency, and somebody else took a shot at me. I took shelter behind a parked car, but there were no more shots, and no indication of where that one had come from. I picked up my hat from the gutter, looked at the neat bullet holes in the crown, then I hailed a passing cab. Police headquarters, make it fast. In Lieutenant Dawson's office, Artie Lomax, the confidence man, shook his head stubbornly.
I don't know what you're talking about, Browning. Guy's handing you money, other guy's shooting at you. I won that necktie in a crap game off some drunk.
I didn't believe him. Why did you say I could wear the tie if I was man enough? Lomax shrugged.
Well, for Pete's sake, look at it. Who'd wear a thing like that?
You did, Artie.
Yeah, look what happened to me. I got pinched.
Lieutenant Dawson frowned.
All right, Lomax. You had your chance to talk. Guard, take him away.
Dawson fingered the tie.
Maybe he's telling the truth, Jerry.
Maybe. Maybe not. Let's go find somebody who can read what those markings on the tie are supposed to mean and why it's worth $5,000.
Very, very handsome necktie, but very, very sorry. These letters, if letters, not Turkish writing.
Greek letters very distinctive, like on fraternity pins. And this tie is not Greek letters.
And that was that. Dawson had lost interest long ago, but I worked my way through Russian, Syrian, Arabic, and a couple of other languages before I was ready to admit myself licked. After I'd exhausted every possible language and had the tie markings examined for possible code, I locked myself in my office and took the thing apart. It had a silk lining. I removed that. I examined the lining, the back of the tie. I did everything but smell and taste it. When I was all through, what I had was just a hunk of gaudy silk. I stuffed the cloth into my pocket, picked up the stick pin and thrust it into my shirt front, then started out to buy a new necktie. There was a man lounging out in the hall. As I walked past him, he suddenly straightened up and shoved a gun into my ribs.
You got your money, now deliver.
The necktie is in my pocket.
A man frowned.
Oh, a wise guy.
He flipped the gun in his hand and... I felt hands under my armpits lifting and dragging me. But I was too paralyzed to move till I was in my own office again. Then I looked up into the honest, seamed face of Olaf, the building janitor.
Mr. Browning, I think you better find some other business.
I warily felt the bump on my head. Olive, sometimes I think you're right.
The necktie.
I grabbed from my pocket and pulled out bits of cloth, the fragments of the necktie, intact. I just couldn't figure it. $5,000, pot shots, and a bang over the head for a necktie that had no meaning and then wasn't even taken. Put my hand to my neck, remembered that I still needed a tie, and a moment later realized that my stick pin was gone.
My stick pin? Oh, so that was what they'd been after right along, the stick pin, not the necktie.
But the stick pin was nothing. Even less than the tie, just a gaudy imitation ruby mounted in a cheap gold-filled setting. I tried to recall what I could about it. Joe Leonard had been a steward on one of the transatlantic boats. Joe's specialty was taking big bills stolen in bank and other robberies, smuggling them out, and selling the hot money in foreign markets. I'd been trailing Joe for a bank association, but a few minutes before I caught Leonard, somebody else did. Maybe a disgruntled colleague, a rival, and filled him with six slugs. Leonard was wearing the imitation ruby stick pin, a thing the police declared worthless, and I took it as a souvenir. Well, now at least I knew what I was after. The boat on which Leonard had worked was still at the pier. I had a talk with its captain. Somebody in this boat is working a smuggling racket. Probably he was teamed up with Leonard. They were taking hot money over to Europe, smuggling something back. With your permission, I want to get a police squad down here. Check every single person who worked on this boat.
You have my permission.
Dawson and I staged the surprise raid just before sailing time. There's the man who handed me the $5,000. And over there, that other one, is the guy who slugged me and took the stick pin. Yeah, two rival gangs working on the same boat. By the time the police were finished with their two captives, four other men, three seamen, and a steward were implicated. As for the stick pin, that was recovered too. And a clever smuggling trick revealed. The big, gaudy imitation was a perfect star ruby. Why did it look fake? Because it had been coated, actually painted, with a translucent red lacquer which obliterated the star and gave the stone itself a phony sheen. That's what I'd been paid to deliver and shot at for by the rival gang that killed Leonard. Like I said, it's all right for a detective to collect souvenirs of his cases. But like the souvenirs you may have around the house, it's a fine idea to make sure they aren't loaded. Listen next time to Calling All Detectives, Mystery Drama, Mystery Quiz, and a chance for you to match wits with yours truly, Jerry Browning, Private Detective.